Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. News.
The newly established Czech Railway Safety Commission seeks greater investment in local lines after a spate of accidents. Prague is close to agreeing on terms for building a new government quarter in the outlying Letňany district, and Tunisia and Georgia are among the countries whose citizens may soon get the green light to visit the Czech Republic. The new Permanent Commission for Railway Safety has recommended boosting investment in local lines following a series of fatal accidents and derailments this summer. Minister of Transport Karol Havlicek told journalists following Wednesday evening's first meeting of the new commission that safety measures at railway crossings are also a priority. Havlicek announced the formation of the 16-member commission, comprised of experts from the railway and other sectors, after a passenger train collided with a parked freight train on Tuesday night near Český Brod. The Commission for Railway Safety is due to meet every 2 weeks to assess progress. Prague City Hall and the government are close to agreeing on terms to build a new government quarter in the Letňany district, Prime Minister Andrej Babiš said following a meeting with Mayor Zdeněk Hřib on Thursday. Babiš argues that locating certain ministries and other government organs from the city centre to Letňany would save taxpayers some 378 million crowns annually in rent. In exchange, Prague City Hall has asked for land swaps and for the government to finance and finish construction on an outer ring road around the Czech capital, as well as build a new hospital. Babiš told reporters that the state hopes to sign a memorandum with the municipality by mid-September. 134 new cases of coronavirus were recorded in the Czech Republic on Wednesday, which is the highest daily increase in the past 5 days. Most new cases stemmed from a handful of localized outbreaks, such as in the neighboring districts of Karvina and Frýdek-Místek. The local Karvina football team, meanwhile, has been given a clean bill of health after having gone into quarantine for 2 weeks after 3 players tested positive for the disease. On Thursday, 10 residents of a hostel in the municipality of Čečelice near the central Bohemian town of Mělník also tested positive for COVID-19. Meanwhile, Tunisia and Georgia are among the countries whose citizens may soon get the green light to visit the Czech Republic within the framework of ongoing anti-coronavirus measures, this according to Foreign Minister Tomáš Petříček. He said the change is dependent in part on the principle of reciprocity. Meanwhile, he noted some other green EU countries could be designated as red. Among them are likely Bulgaria, Romania, and Portugal. The average interest rate on a Czech mortgage fell to 2.21% in June, when interest in obtaining a mortgage reached its highest level since November 2018. This according to Fincentrum Hypo Index. The volume of provided mortgage loans increased by almost 4.5 billion crowns in June compared to May and approached 21 billion crowns. This year's edition of the Iberian Festival, which features food, music, and dance from Spanish and Portuguese-speaking countries, will be held from August 21 through August 30 in Brno, Prague, and in showcase venues in Lisice nad Čechy pod Košiciem. The lineup includes Spanish stars such as flamenco dancer Monica Iglesias. And finally, the weather. Friday should be cloudy with occasional light rain expected throughout the day. Average daytime highs should range from 16 to 18 degrees Celsius. I'm Brian Kennedy, and that's the news for now. Hello and a very warm welcome. You are tuned to Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Public Radio. My name is Brian Kennedy. Coming up in today's program, Owners, a Czech movie and theater play which awed critics at home, is set to premiere in a Warsaw theater. A cycling project is helping Czech seniors feel the wind in their hair again. And we talk to the author of a new book who answers questions most frequently asked in the nation's galleries. All that is coming up now, so please stay tuned. The popular Czech play Society of Owners was successfully adopted into a domestic film last year, drawing nearly 300,000 viewers and winning Czech Lion Awards. Now it seems to be also breaking through abroad, with the Och Theatre in Warsaw staging its own theatre version of the play. That country, which has just been through a divisive election, and the authors of the Polish adaptation say it just may be the perfect place for the comedy that pokes jokes at groups unwilling to compromise. Tom McEncroe has the story.
After it first premiered in Karlin's Vostok 5 Theatre in 2017, Society of Owners quickly accumulated positive reviews and large audiences. The play has a very simple setting, a meeting of flat owners who all live in a house that needs reconstruction. However, as soon as the negotiations surrounding repairs get underway, the viewer is confronted with a wide variety of characters that are all hell-bent on pushing their idea through, often with little tolerance for compromises. The premise of the play was adopted into a Czech feature-length movie last year with a bristling cast and proved to be a great success on the silver screen as well. Directed by Jiří Havelka, who is also the author and director of the original theatre comedy, the film grossed four times as much as it cost to make and received 12 Czech Lion nominations, three of which its cast and screenwriter got to take home. Despite being set in a single room, the film appealed to Czech audiences because many could relate to the situation through their own experience. The original theatre version of the comedy is set to premiere abroad in Warsaw's Och Theater Theatre this Thursday. Actress Izabela Olejnik, who is part of the cast, says that she was struck by the kaleidoscope of realistic characters when studying for the play.
In this play, we can find a full variety of society full of jealousy, stupidity and cynicism. I don't have to tell you how adequate it is to our present time in Poland, and not only in Poland, on the world.
With Och Theatre's large stage and capacity of nearly 450 seats, the Polish version is less intimate than its Czech original and lacks one of its symbolic components, a boardroom table. Aside from the setting, the director Kristina Janda has also made the play rougher, says Ms. Olejnik.
Our adaptation, Kristina Janda's adaptation, was different, more funny, more crazy, more sad.
Poles often point out that they like the Czech tendency for mixing tragedy and comedy into one. In fact, actor Grzegorz Warchoł, who is also playing a character in the play, told Czech television that they are sometimes sad that they do not possess the same type of humour. Asked about whether the mirror into many of the tendencies in modern societal discourse will be too much for Poles, Ms. Olejnik says she is unsure.
I think it will be difficult for some people. We think our problem in Spolecency Vlastiku will be not for everybody, I think.
That was Polish actress Olga Olejnik, ending that report by Thomas McEncroe. A new project is helping Czech seniors enjoy the experience of cycling again, even if they are largely immobile. Within Cycling Without Age, volunteers pilot electric tricycles with the elderly sitting in front, helping them to not just to get out and about, but also to make fresh connections. Ian Willoughby discussed the project with Roman Melishka, who has introduced the originally Danish concept to this country.
It's the idea that folks that were used to cycle but can't anymore. That doesn't mean if you lose the balance or use the trust to keep balance on bicycle that you need to lose your right for the wind in your hair. The how it works is simple as well. Volunteers, electric trishaw, and the seniors. You don't need anything else. So you have an electric tricycle. You have volunteers willing to invest their time. And then the elderly that are happy to increase their radius, getting further than they normally can.
Could you please describe this electric trishaw? From what I can see, it looks a bit like a cross between a bicycle at the back and a wheelchair at the front. Is that correct?
Technically, it's a bicycle. It is allowed and fits on the bicycle paths everywhere. You can ride it on the streets as well. You sit as a pilot, as we call ourselves. you sit on a bicycle. In front of you, you have a sort of a bench with covering, like maybe close to the Nordic Sea. You have these baskets on the beach. That might be sort of a visual comparison one might feel is appropriate. Yes, so three wheels, very stable, very comfortable, and it enables for a continuous chat between the pilot and the passenger, which is a core of the entire project. Like, it's not about getting the folks out, the elderly, and then bringing them back. It's about chatting across generations, people that would normally never meet. They get in touch, build some relationship or not. That all depends.
And what has been the response of Czech seniors who've been trying this trishaw riding for the first time?
Oh, it's always cool. When I did the first trainings for the volunteers, we of course passed by the nursery home where we agreed to make the pilot program with the trishaw. And they said, "Oh, well, you see surprise in the eyes and some questions." So the people were asking, "Oh, what is this?" I said, "Well, this is coming for you, actually." I said, "No." Okay, then we said we came back like 10 days later and offered the first ride. I said, "Okay, well, maybe I'll try." And then he explained slowly, without rushing, and then they take a ride. I mean, in Czech, we have a saying, like, you have this rohlík from your mouth. That means, like, your mouth, the corners of your mouth near pretty close to your ears.
So basically, it's a grin. People just grin from ear to ear.
Exactly, yeah. And that's what happened, yeah.
And that was Roman Mališka speaking with our own Ian Willoughby. Just a reminder that you're tuned to Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech radio. It's now time for our main feature with Ruth Frankova. She speaks to the author of a new book that answers questions most frequently asked in galleries.
Why should I go to galleries when everything is on the internet? Do I have to study to become an artist? And how do I recognize a work of art? These are just some of most frequent questions asked by teenagers in galleries. A new book called Proč umění, or Why Art, attempts to answer these questions using various works of art from galleries in the Central European region. It also aims to get teenagers interested in art and attract them to galleries to see some of these artworks in the flesh. I discussed the title, which has been nominated for this year's Most Beautiful Books Award, with one of its editors, Martina Frajtagová.
Before actually I start about the book, we have to go back to the educational platform that published the book, and that's Máš umělecké střevo. In English, it would be, do you have a knack for art? And it's a platform that started in the Czech Republic, and we have expanded to other countries in the Central European region. We started working with the Slovak National Gallery, with the Ludwig Museum in Budapest, and also the state art collections in Dresden, Germany. And this is when we got together with our partners and realized that the problematics of art education is very similar in our neighboring countries as well, and that the questions that people keep asking in galleries are very similar. So we proposed the idea of putting the most frequent ones together and actually attempt to offer an answer, not a definite answer, but more of a direction of how to think about contemporary art.
So who are the people that are joined in this platform, Do You Have a Knack for Art? Can you mention some Czech artists who are part of this initiative?
It's more than artists, it's art institutions. So we work with the National Gallery Prague, with DOCS, Center for Contemporary Art, Moravian Gallery in Brno. Those are the three main partners, but we also collaborate with other galleries like Gallery Rudolfino, etc. So there is actually quite a wide network of partners in the Czech Republic. And abroad, those were the three that I mentioned, the Slovakian National Gallery, Ludwig Museum in Budapest and State Art Collections Dresden. And working with the institutions gave us the benefit to actually reach to a wider audience, to schools and lecturers, and in that way to present arts in a more accessible, more legible way.
So the book that you have recently published is divided into 32 chapters, and each of them actually starts with one of these typical questions people ask about art. And these questions are then answered by various artists who are using particular works of art to illustrate their point. So how did you come up with them?
Those are questions that come from the actual experience of working with school groups and working with also the general public and repeatedly hearing them. And we asked each of our partner to bring the 10 most frequently asked questions. And then we had an international colloquium or meeting where we discussed and picked the most frequent ones. And the criterion was also to use the question to illustrate, you know, a particular artwork, particular art movement or technique or processes that are used in art.
And if I understand it correctly, all of these works of art that you present in your book come from the institutions that are joined in the initiative Do You Have a Knack for Art?
Exactly. It should be, in a way, also a presentation of these great galleries that we have in an immediate proximity. And we wanted to illustrate that you don't have to travel, you know, overseas to New York or London to actually see great artworks, and that it's around the corner that you can see Picasso, Rembrandt, and other great works. That's why we also included sort of a map to see that it really takes you about 2 hours by train to get to all of these institutions and to all of this world-class art. And yes, it was also based on discussion which artworks are to be illustrated. Again, each of the partners were asked to bring their preferred choices, which we then discussed and which we then also mixed in that question, so we don't necessarily have one question illustrated with just an artist from Hungary or from the Hungarian collection, but we wanted to, you know, show also, say, an artwork from the National Gallery Prague. So it was really a piece of work that we put all together.
So who is this book intended for? Is it intended mainly for older children or teenagers? And is it actually intended to be used as a textbook of sorts?
Yeah, I mean, this is our primary audience, the students of primary secondary schools. And indeed, we intended that as a textbook, although a bit unusual textbook, as the text are not explaining everything in detail. You don't find things that you'd find in a traditional textbook like artist bios or, you know, short descriptions of art movements, etc. It should act more as the first step for students to think about art, the first step to actually learn more, sort of a provocation to really get them interested in art. And then, you know, they can search all the artwork, the artists on the internet. But for us, it's also one of the most important points is to get them actually to visit galleries, to learn more while actually seeing the artwork's life and seeing them in the context of a gallery or a museum. What we have done also is we prepared sort of worksheets that shall encompass the book that we provide to the lecturers, and they offer more questions, more tasks, and a way how to work with the book in the classroom so that the teachers could use this as their starting point, so to say.
As I said, there are 32 questions, some of them quite funny, but I guess the most difficult question to answer is, and also the most obvious one, of course, is what do we need art for? What would you yourself say to a teenager if you were asked this question?
I guess none of these questions have correct answer. and they are indeed very difficult. But I think art is super important because good art should make you ask questions. It should really make you curious about the world around you. Maybe you pass artworks on your way to school or in your everyday life, you don't even notice it. But sometimes it evokes certain emotions. It could help you to understand things. And it's similar as with reading books. It could take you on a journey and not only be a source of inspiration, but actually offer completely new view on the world around you. Definitely, for me, art is an integral part of our everyday life and thinking about it.
And would you say that galleries and museums here in the Czech Republic are doing enough to attract younger audiences?
I think it's getting much better. There are many activities, there are many workshops, and galleries are really trying to open up more. I would say, you know, there is still more emphasis put on how the actual exhibition look like, and the exhibition department, so to say, is in a way always superior to the special programs or to the educational programs. Whereas I think in the ideal world, they should be on the same level. They should work hand in hand from the very start, from the very initial idea about an exhibition. It should be done in collaboration with art educators.
Finally, the book Proč umění, Why Art, has been nominated for the Most Beautiful Book of the Year award, and it's actually in itself a piece of art, we could say. Who is behind the graphic concept of the book and behind the funny illustrations that accompany the texts?
The graphic design is the work of Klára Zapotocká from Studio Brejsky. She is a genius for us. We've been collaborating with her on several other projects for the past years. And I think she really understood the way we want to address our audience in a very playful and approachable way. And it really worked very well with the illustrations. These illustrations were done by Kakalik, our also longtime collaborator, who can create this genius visual shortcut with a funny twist. And I think they are as important as the actual reproductions of artworks and make this book, as you say, hopefully a piece of art as well.
And Martina Freitekova was speaking to our own Ruth Frankova there. And that report by Ruth brings us to the end of our program. If you tuned in late, not to worry. The full broadcast is on our webpage at radio.cz. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and invite you to follow us there. If you have any questions or comments, please do get in touch. Our email address is english@radio.cz. Meanwhile, for me, Brian Kennedy, and the entire Radio Prague International team, thanks for listening, and goodbye for now.